In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, Word of God, reveal more of yourself to us through your presence in the Bible. Led by the Holy Spirit, guide our time of reflection. May it increase our desire for you in the Scripture and in the sacrament. Amen. Elijah has been on the run when we catch up to him in our first reading at Mass this weekend. When Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, gets word of how Elijah embarrassed all the false prophets of Baal, she causes him to flee for his life all the way down to the mountain of God, Horeb. And as a heads up, this Mount Horeb is another way of saying Mount Sinai. So here's the prophet Elijah on the same mountain where Moses very famously received the Ten Commandments. For Moses, that moment was accompanied by splendid pyrotechnics. But here, surprisingly, the opposite seems to happen for Elijah. The Lord tells Elijah to go outside and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord will be passing by. After a strong, heavy wind, an earthquake, and a fire arrives a tiny whispering sound, and Elijah recognizes this, and not everything that preceded it, as God's presence, and thus hides his face in his cloak. This tiny whispering sound has been translated in all different ways. Here are just a few. A gentle little breeze, a gentle whisper, a still small voice, or even a sound of sheer silence. This last one best captures the oxymoronic nature of the sound, because how can a sound be silent? Elijah hears what we might call the calm after the storm, and that's what he recognizes as God's presence. St. Paul is talking about God's privileges for Israel in our second reading. Like a middle school history test, he makes a list of 7 privileges the people of Israel have received from God, culminating in what he holds up as the 8th privilege, being given the Messiah. The passage begins like an oath. Paul says, "I speak the truth. I do not lie. My conscience joins me." Such prefacing helps brace for something spicy St. Paul is going to say, sort of like when someone says to you, "No offense, and I mean this with all charity, but your breath stinks." It's a bit like what he's doing here. I'm speaking the truth and I'm not lying, because get ready, I'm about to say something controversial. What's this controversial, spicy line St. Paul has for his audience? He has great sorrow and constant anguish that the Israelites, whom he calls my kindred according to the flesh, are not recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. He even says, quite dramatically, that I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people. In other words, St. Paul is willing to take damnation upon himself if it means that the people of Israel would accept Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah. That same Messiah is demonstrating his being the Messiah-ness in our final passage taken from the 14th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. It's the story of Peter's walking on the water, and we're told, as it begins, that the boat in which the disciples were was already a few miles offshore. In Greek, we're told that this is many stadia from the land. A stadium was a measure of distance in the ancient world equivalent to about 185 meters, and this puts the disciples in the boat about a mile or two from the shore. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus comes toward them walking on the sea. The fourth watch was the time between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. If you do the math, Jesus makes the disciples get into a boat right after he has fed the people, before night had even begun. Now, here are the disciples in the wee hours of the morning struggling in the boat. You can imagine that they've been at sea much longer than just a 3-hour tour. In their turmoil, Jesus appears and they cry out in fear, saying, "It is a ghost!" Many in the ancient world believed the sea was home to evil spirits. Because it was so treacherous and so unknown, those who died or drowned at sea were believed to still inhabit the waters in some way, and it's because of this that the disciples initially cry out, believing that they're seeing a ghost. Famously, Jesus responds with, "It is I," the same Greek phrase used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament when the Lord God appears to Moses in the burning bush and proclaims his divine name. The story ends with Jesus saving Peter after he begins to sink and asking him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So that's it. That's your Sunday setup for this 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time in Year A. May this knowledge of the story behind the Scripture allow you to encounter Jesus Christ in a new way this weekend. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.